Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our buddy Jim McBride is back on the bench in the biggest way possible from the Globe in Boston. We got a lot to do with the Pats and Red Sox. Jimmy, how you doing, brother?
I'm great, Scott. How you doing?
Hanging in. I'll be a lot better if the Bengals finish off this game and cover. That's just me, though, from a betting end of things. Everything else seems pretty good in life.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. I had quite a week last week, Jim. In the NFL, I hit 79% of the bets, money lines and spreads in the NFL, so I was very excited. And one of the bets was I took the Patriots, and I laid 6.5 Houston, and they beat them by 7. Late game heroics by the Texans trying to get back in the game and everything. But I just thought that it was business as usual for Tom Brady and Gronk. You know, they come out, start slicing and dicing you, and he's scoring touchdowns and having a big day. If that guy has a big day, either one of them, and if they're both having a big day, I mean, this team's like unbeatable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the big talk all summer long was the lack of depth at the in the receiving core, not only through injuries, but and through, defections to other teams. But Julian Edelman going to be out the first four games. But, if Tom is being Tom and Gronk is there and James White's there, they're going to move this ball no matter who's on the receiving depth chart.
So tell me about all these receivers and the risks. The Coleman kid's been in, hot water plenty. But it seems like it doesn't matter. They'll just try anyone out. It seems like a revolving door. And then, if you make plays, you stay. If you don't make plays, you're gone the next week. Tell me about all these guys, and they're just shuffling the deck, it seems like, every week, like Belichick does.
Yeah, at the beginning of training camp, I thought that they had the potential to be one of the best receiving cores that they had in a while, but nothing worked out. Malcolm Mitchell was great 2 years ago. He was never ever able to come back from that injured knee. Kenny Britt looked fantastic in OTAs, and then he pulled his hamstring on the last day or the second to last day. He was never able to recover. And Jordan Matthews did the same thing. He was looking really, as he was going to be the slot replacement basically for Edelman for these first four games, and he pulled his hamstring too. So it was like, every day a guy was going down in camp, and so then they just had to start bringing in guys. They brought in Eric Decker. He really, he had trouble with drops. He had trouble, he just wasn't up to speed quick enough.
He was finished.
I think he knew it pretty early on, but, he gave it a go. But it was pretty evident in that Carolina preseason game when he didn't play for the second half and he wasn't on the field at all with Brady that wasn't going to work out.
Right.
And so he retired the next day. And now Corey Coleman and Fowler, I'm not really sure how they're going to fit in because, at this point we're not allowed to watch much of practice. But, I remember Coleman coming out of college and the kid's just a blazer. If he can, if he can run any semblance of a decent route, he'll have success because Tom can put the ball there. Fowler, I love his size. Whether he can, absorb this playbook enough to have an impact, that remains to be seen.
Can you believe what we've been through with that franchise with, all their Super Bowls and then, I hate to say it, but, murders and everything else and, that whole scene and then, the Deflategate and the commissioner versus Brady for it seemed like 2 years. And, I mean, can you even believe that they're just back to business and, going down to Jacksonville to try to smack them around and go win another AFC title and go back to the Super Bowl? Can you believe the stuff that's happened, literally all of it, the murders, the controversies, and that they're still on top? Can you believe it?
Yeah, I mean, there's never a lack of storylines with this team. And I think, the one that was so overblown this offseason was the cracks in the foundation of the Patriots dynasty and how, Belichick wasn't getting along with Tom and Belichick wasn't getting along with Bob Kraft, and there was all this and that, and I just never saw it from someone who's down with that team every day, and you know, I'm at every practice, I'm at every availability, and I just never saw it that way. I know that was a great big national story, but, you know, when these guys are on the field together, you know, whether it's practice or a game, you know, they're all singularly focused on winning. And I think that, you know, people love to kind of hammer a winner, and they've been winning for 15 years pretty consistently. So, you know, someone's always going to be looking for something that, quite frankly, is not there.
Jim McBride, Boston Globe, back on the bench. How much do they want to, like, step on Jalen Ramsey's face?
Yeah, you know, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in the locker room when we're not allowed in there to see what they really think of this guy. You know, to us, you know, when we asked Gronk about it yesterday, and, you know, he said, yeah, it motivates him a little bit, but, you know, he's not worried about, you know, oh, I got to line up against this guy. Gronk's going to line up wherever the play tells him to, and he's going to be effective whether it's inside or outside. You know, I thought Coach Belichick had a very telling comment yesterday when he was asked about, you know, kind of Ramsey's bravado, and he said, look, we all know what time the game starts. And, you know, that's all that really matters is when that whistle blows, you know, it doesn't matter what was said before the game, what kind of hyperbole is said after the game. It just matters what happens between those lines. And this team has always been, you know, pretty singularly focused on that.
So they have a great defense. We know that. And they scored. Mac, I think, scored in the a pick six in the second half against the Giants, but their offense never scored. Their running game with Yeldon was nothing. Without Fournette, their running game was 2 yards a pop. And Bortles just, I can't, you know, I know they went to the title game, but I still, he looks like, I hate to say it right now, he looks like the old Bortles. Are you worried about their offense at all against New England's defense down there Sunday afternoon?
You know, I think this is New England's defense has really improved from last year. I think that front seven, you know, getting Hightower back, getting some younger guys like Keonta Davis, who a lot of people don't know about. He was a guy that was, you know, would have been drafted fairly high, third roundish, if he didn't have a neck injury that was discovered at the combine. He's coming on. Dietrich Wise is coming on. They got Trey Flowers. It's a much improved pass rush, and they've got some big bodies in the middle. So, you know, I think that they're going to have a better showing against this offense. And really, I thought Blake Bortles played the game of his life in that AFC Championship game after playing probably the second best game of his life the week before against the Steelers. And I think you're right. You know, he's not – I don't think he's at elite status. You know, he can still run the ball. He's a very underrated athlete. He had that 41-yard run against the Giants last week. But to say he puts the fear of God in anyone at this point, I would say no.
Tucker just kicked a 55-yarder and nailed it for the Ravens. It's 28-17. So let me ask you about...
That kid doesn't miss.
I mean, he's unbelievable. I wish my kicker, Boswell, would have been able to make a little little chippy 40-yarder in the rain. I guess his mommy didn't let him play outside in the rain when he was a kid because he shanked it left, and then they ended up tying the Browns. I don't even want to talk about it. So let me ask you, do you think that the Red Sox, after all of this 100 wins, and now, you know, they said 114 wins and all this other greatest team ever, do you think that they'll, you know, win it all, get it done? Do you think they're going to finish the deal, or do you think they're going to have another relapse of their last two postseasons where they got swept?
You know, I grew up a Red Sox fan, and I'm a pessimist at heart because of it. This bullpen scares the living daylights out of me. I don't, you know, other than you know, Kimbrel at the back end, and he's been shaky too. There's really nobody reliable out there. I mean, at this point where they're using Steven Wright, a knuckleballer, as the eighth inning guy. And even Alex Cora admitted that he really can't watch it when that guy goes in there. Joe Kelly exploded again tonight. Heath Hembree's been a disaster the last month or so. So I think unless they can shore up that bullpen, it's going to be disappointing come October.
Oh, so you don't think they'll get it done. Now, what's the plan with Sale? They let him pitch, like, you know, whatever, an inning or something the other night. Is he going to be
pitches, yeah.
Is he going to be fine for the October?
I think so. I think that they're trying to do their best to manage him. You know, he kind of ran out of gas last year in the postseason. And, you know, I think he's kind of evolving himself. He's realizing now that he doesn't have to strike every guy out. That, you know, a ground ball to shortstop is just as good as a strikeout, even though you can throw 97, 98, 99. He's going to start Sunday night against Syndergaard, I think, in the Mets. So that should be a fun game to watch. But, yeah, I think he'll be fine. I think they're just, they're managing me. He was on the DL, but I think he could have pitched through it if it was the postseason. They're just erring on the side of caution, and you know they're going to need him to go 7-8 innings in the playoffs because they just can't trust that bullpen.
So Price is. It sounds like he's staying in Boston. Is all that blown over and everybody loves him now? Like kumbaya.
Yeah, for the last 7 weeks or so, everybody's been in love with David Price, and he's kind of been in love with Boston again. We'll see when the pressure really comes on. It's nice to pitch that well when you've got an 8-9 game lead in the standings, but we'll see when he's pitching game two of the ALDS.
What did you think of Tyler Seguin, who everybody in Boston, didn't they run him out of there? How about he got rich today, like making around? I mean, they gave him like $78 million or something like that.
Yeah, his last two contracts, something like $120 million for a guy that, you know, he did win a cup in Boston, but he was kind of a bit player that year that they won it. I don't know, kind of a one-dimensional guy, Scott. He doesn't really go back and play defense. He was never going to fit into Claude Julien's system when he was the Bruins coach, but he might have thrived a little more under Bruce Cassidy, I think.
So Gordon says he's going to be able to go at the start of the season. What do you think the Celtics will be like with him in the lineup finally?
Well, I was encouraged by that, and also to hear that Kyrie looked great down in Miami when he was playing the other day. If they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals without those two guys, then I think this year the sky's the limit.
Yeah,
there's no monster in the East other than the 76ers. And is there anything better than the Celtics 76ers rivalry?
No, but it'll be fun watching the Celtics get their ass beat by the Warriors in the finals. Let me ask you, so in the Pats-Jags bet, you like them laying the two in Jacksonville? Are you down with the Pats to win and cover?
I think they do both. I absolutely do. Yep.
Wow, I love it. Jim McBride going to the window on us tonight. Jimmy, love you. Great. Enjoy the trip down to Jacksonville. And be safe flying and everything with all that crazy storms that are hitting and everything. Enjoy the game. Always love having you on the bench.
Thanks, Scotty. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Jim McBride of the Boston Globe with us on the bench, one of our regulars.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.